coming up on the Weekly Pass. We've got NCAA scandal. We've got someone called Meta World Peace on, MLB, NBA news, all that and more coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Weekly Pass. I am Bonnie Jill Laughlin, and this is our first show, launch of our show. You can catch me on Twitter at BJ Laughlin and Instagram, Facebook at Bonnie Jill. I am here with my fabulous co-host, Josh and Becky. Introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Hit me up. Always love a nice sports debate.
Yes, indeed. I'll follow that up. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me at Becky Sotero on all social media. Such a pleasure being here with y'all.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Josh, do you know this song?
Champion by Meta.
Meta. Now we got a party going on. I'm excited to have Meta on.
I mean,
he's
so excited.
Got so many layers to him. Yes. You know, anyone who knows Meta, it's not just basketball.
No.
Celebrity Big Brother. He's got a clothing line. I mean, we'll hear all about this, but he's pretty fascinating and sometimes maybe a little misunderstood.
Just a little bit. I mean, I'm going to ask him a couple of questions so I can understand him a little better, but he is very fascinating to me. Very fascinating.
Well, since this is our first show, let's go a little bit into each other's like favorite teams really quick. We'll kind of talk about, you know, because this show, The Weekly Pass, is going to be a fun sports show, you know, have engaging guests and just have a good time, but talking sports.
Absolutely. All right. Well, like I said, I'm Josh Rodriguez. I'm from the Bronx, New York. So I'm a Yankees, Knicks, and Giants fan. Fair sports basketball. Love pickup basketball. That good stuff. Looking forward to speaking to Meta about all that stuff because he's from New York as well.
Yes, you got that in common.
Gonna pick his brain a little bit. But yeah, just love all sports. Just competing. All that good stuff. Pretty lighthearted. I'm happy to be here.
I know you're lighthearted for New Yorker.
Yeah, I was
get that
say.
A lot. Yeah. Oh, people don't believe that I'm from New York. Unless you hear me talk.
Becky?
Portland, Oregon, originally grew up a hockey fan through and through, so I'll be talking all about hockey on this end. I worked for the LA Kings for 5 seasons, 4 on the ice crew, worked for the LA Clippers, I was an arena host, the Blazers, the Galaxy, I've been around.
Nice.
So.
And you are weird when it comes to your teams. Remember, Josh,
yes.
you spoke about this,
so
she's like, I like Pittsburgh!
The Penguins, the Pirates.
And then go Seahawks, bandwagon.
I have a Seahawks in me. I don't know, you guys, I'm all over the board.
I mean,
keep it interesting, like Meta. So we have that in common.
Okay. That's true. And for me, anyone who follows me knows I'm a diehard Cowboys, and also my Niners, and then, you know, when it comes to baseball.
Cowboys.
Giants. Dez caught it.
He did catch it.
And he did.
Officially.
And he said he did.
Officially. Today it was announced.
I know.
But for those
could you
of
imagine
you,
now if that I can't even think about that. I'm living in the past still.
Relax.
Hold
on.
In the past.
Very important detail for those of you who don't know, Bonnie Jill is the first. Tell everybody,
female scout in the NBA.
That's right. So don't question her knowledge of the game. I'm talking to you guys out there who can't handle a strong, smart woman speaking about sports. Right off the bat, she was a scout for the Lakers.
And I love my hoops. I love talking
assistant
hoops.
Assistant GM. I mean, you've got
And I grew up as a Warriors fan, you know, the cheerleader for the Warriors. So I love my Warriors. But then went to like the rival, I guess, you know, and worked for the Lakers for 10 years. But we'll get into that later.
All right. Sounds good.
But let's get into some crazy talk about this NCAA scandal. I mean, I'm very opinionated about it. Josh, are you as much? Like, is NCAA going to finally, like, throw down the javel, throw down the hammer and say, we got to do something? Or are they going to keep stretching this out or keep, you know, letting these coaches and teams get away with this? I get it. It's the powerhouse basketball schools. And, you know, as we know, Sean Miller, you know, actually was caught red-handed, and that is now affecting Arizona because, you know, breaking news, Sharif O'Neal is now going to UCLA, not Arizona.
Right. Wow. Which I find interesting, though, because it's no secret that this happens at every single major Division I basketball program.
And football.
And football as well. So, I mean, this is not a secret. The NCAA, they need to start paying their players. I'm on that boat. Where they're raking in money, and I'm not saying that you have to pay every sport.
And that's one of my questions I was going to talk to Meta about. Is like, is it the time now that we've got to pay these guys?
Yes, but now comes the question, how much do you pay these players? Which players get paid more than others
on it,
because someone who's a superstar like Miles Bridges, he's on this list as well, Michigan State guard, you know, he's gonna bring in more money than the 12th man on the bench on Michigan State, so he's gonna have to get more money. It's like, how do you distribute this? I don't
That's
know if
thing.
There's a solution to this,
because you can't do like favored nations either, so
right
what do you do?
And what sports?
And speaking of Michigan State, have you noticed that that whole scandal has been like disappeared now?
Yeah, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, gone. And that's what infuriates me.
Right.
You know, is that all of a sudden now you don't hear about it.
I think we'll hear about it again. Hmm. That's
even LeBron, and I never would say that I would agree with LeBron on anything, said NCAA is crooked.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
He actually said that.
He did. And he's right. He's right. They're almost too big to, like, I wouldn't say too big to fail, but like, what are you going to do? You need a new form of NCAA, whatever it is, of amateurism, maybe a minor league system or some type of farm system like they have in MLB where high school players can go to, I don't know, something like the G League, something like that.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I don't have the answers, but the NCAA is just, it's not working right now at all.
I mean, I don't know what your opinion is on the one and done. But there's something kind of to be said, too. Like, I think if these players stayed a little longer, too, you know, don't you think that there's something to be said for that, too? Like, you know, I'm one of those that thinks that it'd be great to see these guys stay longer than a year. I know, looking at the players aspect, and we know that the NBA is a players' league, so you look at that, they just want to get into the league and make money and injuries and so forth. But go back and start looking at the old school NBA players.
Yeah.
They all stayed in,
you know? 4 years. All 4 years.
Yeah. And let's just talk about, Josh, not just the fact that, you know, you mentally mature as a person. You can have a degree possibly because there is life after basketball because we know that they all are broke with 2 to 3 years. So they need another career. So, you know what I'm saying? So there's, I just think personally, I would love to see, you know, like Coach K tried to instill that. But that's not even working with Duke.
But Coach K is not instilling any of this as well because he's doing the same thing. He's now, like Marvin Bagley, one and done. Like he's hopped on that bandwagon that Calipari has kind of made famous where it's like, I'm going to recruit one and done players, try to win the championship because his job's on the line, his legacy's on the line, all that good stuff. I don't know if there's a rule you can enforce. I know the NFL has 2 years. But I mean, when you have millions of dollars being waved in your face,
right.
What are you gonna do? I mean,
but think about it. It starts at a very young age with basketball. AAU.
Yes, that's another thing.
So AAU starts, and coaches, and that's where it is. And that's the problem.
And these AAU coaches get paid. If they don't get paid, they're getting positions on coaching staffs.
Right.
A lot of these things, because a lot of these kids are growing up without maybe father figures or in a neighborhood where they need that type of influence. And these coaches are building them up and then shipping them off to these type of programs, and then they expect a payday. They expect some type of reimbursement for what they did for that child. So there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, including the AAU system. I'm glad you brought that up.
And as much as I love basketball, at a very young age, these kids are already exposed to the crookedness, I guess, you know, of like what's to come.
So what's the solution?
What is your solution?
I mean, there's so much we could say about it, but what do you guys think?
I don't see the NCAA doing anything to actually penalize these teams, though. Do you? Do you really see these powerhouse schools being... No. Of course not.
You can't penalize Duke. You can't penalize Michigan State because then you don't have an NCAA tournament.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You do not have. And on top of that, they're at fault for a lot of this stuff.
I mean, North Carolina, Kentucky. I mean, you go Kansas. You go on and on and on.
Yeah.
They're not going to penalize these schools.
Not at all. Not at all. They have to pretend like they care. They don't care.
A solution would be maybe to pay these players. That's the only thing.
That's the only thing. And the NCAA can't act like they care. They don't care. They know this is going on. It's just the FBI got involved and all that good stuff. So they have to pretend like they care. It's a scandal at the same time, but it's not a scandal that nobody knew about. Everyone knew this was happening.
And I love when the NCAA says, "We're doing an investigation." Yeah. Are you? You know they're not.
It's been going on since September, if not before.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get kind of heated about it because it's, for me, it's just like, it's infuriating that it constantly keeps coming up and nothing is done.
Nothing will be done. There needs to be a new type of NCAA. I don't know what that is, but some new form of amateurism where high school students can go to another place to play.
Exactly.
That's the answer. I just don't know if that's even capable of happening.
And what do you think happens with Sean Miller and Arizona? And
a fine. Maybe you lose postseason eligibility for a year or two.
But with Sharif not going, you know, he doesn't want to go somewhere where they could actually, let's say, get, you know, suspension, or they can't go to the tournament.
That's why
he
left.
Of course.
Not because of what was going on. It's because they got caught and because he's scared he can't play in the NCAA tournament.
That's what I'm saying.
If he goes to Arizona.
On a lighter note, the Olympics.
Yes.
Yay. You know, that was, I mean, I actually thought it was kind of fun watching the Olympics. I know you don't watch the Olympics.
Only curling.
Oh, curling.
Remember we talked about this? I'm really upset because curling really didn't get a lot of attention. Now the minute that I say that I want to try to get in there. Everybody hopped on the bike. Everyone hopped in, and they're talking about, oh, curling, like, you know, you can get in on some, you know, little random small little leagues and everything. I'm all, I don't like that. How are me and Josh going to get to the Olympics?
Oh, well, man. I mean, we just have to be better than everybody. It's competition.
I'll teach you some ice hockey.
And so for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, my idea to get into the Olympics is through curling.
Yes. Mine too.
And now I don't know.
No, what do you mean you don't know?
I mean, I don't know if we can do it.
We can absolutely do it.
And those guys were like called the rejects, the ones who won the curling.
Look at them. Took the gold. No offense to them,
but I mean, come on, we're in good shape.
I know.
We can. Come on.
You guys have 4 years. I believe in you. It's going to happen.
Thank you, Becky. You can be on it as well.
Ice hockey all the way. All my women won gold.
Oh, they did. Talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, since 1998, women, USA has been going up against Canada, and they finally did it. Overtime.
I know. And I never watched women's hockey, and I was watching that game. It was exciting.
They wanted a shootout. I mean, it just doesn't get any more glorious than that. So what a victory for them. They've been all over the globe, but they actually... just were at the LA Kings game, dropped the puck last night.
Nice.
Oh, really?
We'll talk about that later, but yeah.
And then Sean White, he won big, and he's very emotional.
Talk about the road to redemption. Yeah. He did it.
It was fun. I mean, I know you don't really care.
No. What was the medal count?
We had a medal count.
We're Norway, like third, right? Norway.
Yeah, Norway took it for 39, Germany 31, Canada 29. We only had 23.
Really?
So we were fourth.
But we kill it in the summer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm used to.
Stronger, right. Sure. And what's the little cute girl from Torrance, the Chloe snowboarder? Kim. Chloe Kim.
Yeah, she slid her way into gold. It was a pretty phenomenal.
What about that figure skater, Adam? Adam Rippon, is that his name?
Oh, yeah. How do you know that?
He's impressed
that you know this ice skating.
I'll tell you what. He had some great skates, but not a medal. I mean, he got a bronze.
He didn't get a medal?
But he got a bronze. U.S. got the overall bronze.
So, okay, yeah. Got it.
He didn't go home without a medal.
Well, I watched it all. I even watched the closing ceremonies.
Oh, so good.
Okay. And is it over? I don't know anything.
Did you just say okay?
Yeah. Sunday it ended. It ended. Yes, yeah. Josh.
So it's done. Yes, no more Olympics.
So is
okay.
Lindsey Vonn's career.
I feel so un-American right now.
I know. You should
have us.
And Lindsey Vonn, she had emotional.
It's emotional.
Too.
She's been.
And I thought she was going to win.
I know.
And she ended up moving down to third, right?
She had a rough Olympics, but I think that. You know, the power is coming back and the hard work that she put in. But I have to say, you know, she had quite the journey, so it was pretty hard to see her talk about it being the end for her. So,
well, we're waiting for Meta to come join us. You know, let's talk a little bit of hoops, NBA hoops.
Yes, absolutely.
We need like some da-da-da-da, like something, right?
I'll do it for us.
I'll create something like that for the next show.
Right. You know, leading off with Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
I love Jimmy Butler.
You're a big Jimmy Butler fan.
I am. And okay. So when he went down with that knee injury, you know, it was pretty devastated, you know, because I thought it was, I mean, it's tough. Anytime you see any player go down, I shouldn't just say Jimmy Butler, which, as you know, there's been so many.
Yeah.
Not just injuries, but star players, right?
Yeah, a lot. Especially right before the All-Star break, all coincidentally on Team LeBron. But Jimmy Butler, that hurt a lot.
It did. And the Timberwolves, 38-26, their record. Yeah. But you know what? I think people forget, though, even without Jimmy Butler, they're so much better than they were last year.
They were. They're a good squad, but Jimmy does, he is a big reason why where they are right now.
Of course.
I mean, you still have Karl Anthony Towns, you still have Andrew Wiggins, and I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and Jeff Teague, and Jamal Crawford, and Josh Gibson, and I mean, I can go on and on.
Thibodeau's a really good coach. I think he gets a lot of flack because they say he runs his team into the ground, but I think Thibodeau's a really good coach. But Jimmy Butler, I think he is their most important piece. They're going to miss him. I know
they will. Okay, and you know, leading into postseason and playoffs, they're in third position. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think? Because I think they need him.
Well, right now, they're sitting in the third spot. I think they need to get home court advantage. He's going to be back, they say. They say 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know yet. It depends who they play.
A meniscus? I am not sure about that.
I don't know.
It depends who they play.
He's not going to be 100%.
Mm-hmm. You don't think so?
No, he's not going to be 100%.
I'm not really sure. I'm actually not that big of a fan of the T-Wolves.
Meta's here.
Hey.
Yeah! Wait, are you on a pillow or what is that?
Yeah, I'm just lounging.
Oh, I love it. It's almost like PJ time with Meta.
I know, it kind of is.
Meta after dark.
Thank you for joining us, Meta. It's so good to see you.
Absolutely. Thank you. My favorite friend in the whole world.
I know. Aww. You're the best.
Really?
I was so pulling for you, Meta. I know you wanted to leave the Big Brother house, but I was really pulling for Meta. I know you watched a lot of it.
Yeah. So Meta, I am on a podcast called Straight Talk with Ross Matthews, which
That's
is
my buddy. Okay.
So talk about your relationship with Ross. How'd that go? So I can report back tomorrow and tell him everything you said about him.
Russ was great, and you know, like, I felt bad for Russ because, like, people kept saying that he was one of the girls, so they would say it's like 7 against 4, and I'm like, I know he's gay, but if I'm not mistaken, he's a guy, right?
Oh my god!
I don't think I want to be on you guys' team. And then the girl said, you know, Russ, we're going to keep you with us, but you know we're going to beat you. We're not letting a guy win. So Russ was in the middle, and he did exactly what he had to do. I'm so happy for him.
But why did they turn against him like that? You voted for him, which I appreciate. I'm glad you did, because I would have ripped you if you didn't.
Didn't vote for him. I didn't vote.
Yeah, you did. You voted for him, didn't you?
I closed my eyes and I picked.
Are you serious?
That's the way you do it. Uh-huh. No feelings hurt then, right?
Oh my God, Meta.
Meta, who do you think is a better teammate, Kobe Bryant or Omarosa?
Oh, watch out. Remember, it's an LA crowd here.
Kobe's not going to let me lose. Kobe's the best.
Aww. Nice. I like that. Now, a more basketball related question. Mm-hmm. Compare Kobe to LeBron to me. I'm a LeBron guy, so I'm a little bit younger. I'm a millennial. and I know that a lot of people say Kobe, Jordan, Kobe, you know, whatever. But I'm not that big a fan of Kobe. Convince me why Kobe's better than LeBron.
Well, Kobe's done. He's not playing no more. I'm more like the type of guy that I'm in with the now. Like, LeBron is now. Kobe and myself, we were then and the past, and we're dead. LeBron is fully alive. You know, if it was in his prime, but if you wanted to compare primes,
yeah,
Kobe in his prime will definitely get the better. Kobe was too good.
Well, what separates them?
Staying a lot, but you got to just think about it. LeBron is breaking all sorts of records. So how can I sit here and say, you know, Kobe's better when LeBron is just great? Like, who am I to talk about these two great statistical players? I really have no right to even be breathing in the same conversation. I should shut up.
That's the most humble thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know, right? But they're two different type of players, though.
Yeah, they are.
They're so different. Kobe's different. I mean, come on. Kobe is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think LeBron could. I don't think LeBron would have gotten the better against Kobe in Kobe's prime. Mm.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm.
That is fair. Now, before you came on, Meta, we were talking a little bit about the NCAA scandal. Mm-hmm. Do you think it is time to finally pay athletes in college?
Well, the athletes, I think this is the situation. The NCAA is a great way for people to learn, get educated, and you play sports. That's great, because sometimes some families, they need that support system in schools. But the other thing is this, if you want to get paid, you know, and the NCAA is not paying you, then find another way to get paid. You know, so many opportunities out there. I mean, look at Mark Zuckerberg. Like, he didn't play Division I UCLA Player of the Year. Like, it's things you can do, you know, if you put your mind to it, mm-hmm. if the NCAA don't want to pay. Yeah, I think players should get paid, but I don't think you should beg. Like, please pay me. Please pay me, NCAA. They should be like, okay, you don't want to pay me. I want some money. I'm going to do something else. Mm. The world is big, and there's so much opportunity out there. You don't need the NCAA, or you don't need the NBA. All you need is your mind and figure it out.
Matt, I have a question for you, because you went to St. John's. I'm actually from New York as well, so it's actually cool to see someone like you who stayed local and went to a college like St. John's with that history there. What attracted you to St. John's then? I mean, I'm not asking you about payola or anything. I'm just genuinely asking you, like, what was the difference between your mindset and you think the mindset now that college players have?
Well, definitely no payola at St. John's, buddy.
Yeah.
No payola there. I remember I wanted some money to get home. And I was not able to receive any funds from anybody, and I had to walk. But yeah, St. John's, the bricks, the red bricks, the city, the dirt, the big rats, the oversized rats, all that, the smelly, the sewer, the smoke, the ignorance. New York City, baby. That's why I stayed.
The greatest city in the world. Don't you just want to go there after what Meta just said?
I know, right?
A lot of New York happening here.
Now, Meta, going back to Lakers talk, what are your thoughts on Lonzo, this kid? Is he peaking? Is he still improving? What are your thoughts on this kid and the pressure he has right now?
I love it because he accepts the pressure, and not many people can do that. I also like the fact that he's a rapper. that he's like entrepreneurial, and he's got his own clothes, and he does what he wants. And I also like the fact that he's very patient.
Yeah.
You know, he's a very patient guy, and he also he sacrificed his shooting percentage for his team. This year he would pass the ball, and he would often be out of rhythm. So then he's missing 10 shots a game. And that's now his percentage is 20%. Everybody's back banging on him about his percentage, but they don't understand that if it was like Kobe or Iverson, they're not going to sacrifice their rhythm for another player. Like Lonzo does that. And that's what LeBron did when he would miss big shots because he was trying to give his other teammates some shine. That's what Lonzo does. So Lonzo's going to be a champion one day.
Have you had a chance, Meta, to get to know Lonzo or his father, LeVar?
I have no reason to get to know them.
LeVar wants to get to know everyone, so through I thought media, perhaps, the yeah. Media,
there's not going to be any Big Baller Brand Panda.
Yeah.
Wait. Panda clothing line collaboration.
Speaking of that, we want to ask you about your clothing line. Let's segue into that. And I happen to be a big Panda person, so I'm basically going to be going online buying your entire line. What's happening?
The Panda's Friend. And I got a chance to model a lot of the Panda's Friend apparel, and I love
so
it.
Good. Can you talk about that a little bit and how you came to that?
Yes, I will. Well, the Panda's Friend came from something that I was trying to inspire people. And as you know, I raffled my ring off and I won a championship and raised almost $1 million, gave all of it away. Yes. And that's the same type of thing I'm trying to do with the brand. I'm trying to generate some revenue, have a nice, inspiring brand. Mm-hmm. And as we grow, you're going to see lots of amazing things happening. I feel like, pound for pound, I feel like I'm one of the most philanthropic people out there.
Philanthropic.
You are.
I'm up there with the best, and that's what I want to do with this brand.
And I love that because we were talking about, I think sometimes, Meta, you're misunderstood and you're one of the nicest people that I know. And I love you to death. And I just think it's great that you are doing that to give back. And I know you were inspired by the Panda's Friend when you were playing in China. And, you know, we all know in China, it's the panda.
Yes.
And you had that on the back of your jersey, right, Meta, that said the Panda's Friend.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had in China and in Italy, I'm surprised that they did that, but yeah, they let me put it on the back of my jersey.
Nice.
And so then good.
It said the Panda's Friend in Euro basketball. It was pretty cool.
But no official name change. We're going to keep Meta, right?
I'm definitely not changing my name.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, will you also talk about your new networking? Is it pronounced Gridello? The name of the app? We want to make sure we
say it. Yeah, so it's Gridello, and it's a tech company. So we do like, I went to UCLA this summer for digital analytics, social media, business analytics, Google analytics, and I was a math major in college.
The architect mine.
My first major was architecture, actually.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And but you know, when you're an athlete and you're trying to brand yourself, how do you brand yourself, right? And the way to do it is at the foundation, and at the foundation is data analytics. When I was an NBA player, I wasn't getting the same deal with Kobe or LeBron or Jordan, where they're getting State Farm marketing, Gatorade marketing, Nike marketing, NBA marketing, Gillette marketing. And you, not only are you getting all these brands, you're getting all their digital teams. So you see their social media just explode.
Yep.
Well, if you're like a B-level player but a superstar NBA player, you don't have that team. Well, it's because you probably don't understand digital marketing, digital analytics. So it's a way, you know, for athletes and celebrities to monetize, you know, their brand. So Gridello is that. You know, Gridello is a tech company. We'll be looking at the B-level market, influencer, celebrity, athlete. And that's what Gridello is. You know, we have an app that comes along with your monetization website if you want. Our websites are premium for exclusive influence, celebrities, athletes, you know, and it just, I feel like I want to help people like myself that were superstar and could have, and I'm not big on, you know, I'm not a money hungry guy, but what I know now, I could have been making, you know, hundreds of thousands, maybe sometimes millions a month, depending on what I was selling and how I was marketing it, depending on, you know, what was happening and what events was happening at that time. And I just want to provide that for athletes and celebrities. And that's what we're doing. We're taking it to the top, Gridello.com. You're going to see more upgrades, but yeah, definitely go to it.
And we noticed there's also where you can go meet up and have pickup games. Mm-hmm. Right, Meta?
Yeah, so the pickup games is more for fun. Like, we want to have fun with the app. Absolutely. You can do that. You can create teams, create leagues,
nice.
Challenge people. That's on the app.
Yeah, and then you've really built a platform.
Yeah, it's a platform for you to have fun, have a good time, you know, and yeah. Yeah, so it's definitely a hell of a, it's definitely a really good
platform.
Well,
you're living up to your name, that is for sure, because you're making the world a better place. That's for, and you're innovating, which is what you were talking about, and that's what's so important is for people to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be innovative, and then we have the e-commerce side. So the Panda's Friend is our e-commerce side, and the Panda's Friend is a friend of people, and we want to help athletes, celebrities, influencers do their thing on the e-commerce side. That don't know. That some of them don't know how to do their thing. So, and we want to help them and guide them and make it really easy. So right now we're kind of in our angel round right now. We pretty much got everything done and we're about to start raising money, you know, and make this thing just, we're going to make it really good. I'm very excited about it. Been working on it for 4 years.
Wow.
Nice.
You know, for a long time. And, you know, people see me on the court crazy, all this other stuff. But, you know, behind that, you know, I do a lot of great
this
things.
This is your yin to your yang, since we're talking about pandas. Right. Yin and the yang. It all comes full circle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited about it, though.
I think it's so interesting, Meta, because you're so, like, obviously this is my first time meeting you. You're very gentle, like, and it's weird to see a former defensive player of the year.
Ooh, All-American.
And you were so tough on the court, Meta. Like, you really were. Mm-hmm. And I mean that as a very big compliment. Now, I kind of want to go back to the game because I'm a huge basketball junkie. Like, what do you think the difference between today's game and when you played? I mean, you didn't play too long ago, but I feel like you could rough up an offensive player a little more. You can body them up. You can be a little more physical. Mm-hmm. How would you play in today's game? Would you be just as physical? What would the Meta World piece of today play like?
Yeah, I tried it, and when I played my last couple seasons, and I was still able to be physical. Mm-hmm. It's all about getting to the spot before your opponent gets there.
Yeah.
And then when the opponent is upset because you're in his way and they want to look at the ref because you're in their way, but if you got there first, you can stand there and you can create some physical action. And a lot of people is not used to it because a lot of the defenders don't know how to get to the spot first and then be physical. So it's all about being smart, being quick, and then you be physical. So absolutely, I would have been able to get away with it. And I think, like, I would have been a much better player in this era because you can't touch.
Right.
And in my prime, I was averaging 20, 22, 24, mm-hmm. 19, 18, you know, and, you know, double teams, triple teams and things like that. So in this era, the floor is more open. So I would have had I had more of a field day, you know, in this era. Definitely. Yeah.
But do you think players now would have been able to play back then? Would they have been able to, you know, take it to the rack and be able to see, you know, Xavier McDaniel or Charles Oakley in the paint? Would they have been able to deal with that?
Two Knicks, I like that.
I think they would have. Like, you got Dwight Howard. You got Kyrie Irving would have been amazing. I'm not sure about the natural shooters. And the thing that the league did was, when you want to make the game global, it was hard to do that in an American-style game. The American-style game is physical. And a lot of the players that was coming from overseas could not play, with the exception of a few, Dragan Petrovic, Sabonis. It was
soft.
A few, but on average, they couldn't come over here and deal with that. So the NBA had to open up the game so it could allow for a lot of the Europeans to come over here and play, because there's no way they can deal with that physical game without changing the rules. Would not have happened. So now you see a lot of great overseas players, but it's hard to measure them against, you know, former, you know, back in the days, 80s, 90s style NBA players.
Right. Now, Meta, if you were the GM, let's say, you know, you're the GM of the Lakers right now. Do you like the direction they're going? And do you think they tap into the free agency market this summer, next summer? Count, you know, maybe just work with these young guys and worry about the draft. What would you do in a perfect world?
I mean, it's hard to say, but I mean, every GM is different, right? So, I mean, I could, and then you also have to be in tandem with the owner and the president. So you can't just go out, make decisions yourself, walk into your office and say, I'm doing this. You know, it's not going to work like that. So mm-hmm. it's really like what are, I would have, you would have to say, if you were president, GM, and the owner, what would you do?
Yes, right.
You know, that would be, then I would say, okay, I'm just going to probably keep this team. Yeah.
So is there any future with you in the front office at all? Would you like to own a team or maybe be a GM of some sort of coach, something like that?
I think going stages is the best way right now.
Okay.
I coached Palisades High School a couple years ago. Won back-to-back titles with the girls.
Holla.
Yeah.
Coach-
Teach those girls.
Then I coached Beverly Hills. I coached Arizona. Now I'm at the D-League. I'm a developer coach right now, and I didn't want to get right into it because I played 18 years professional. Mm-hmm. I need a break from basketball, so I'm part-time. And then I'm going to step it up. And then after I coach a couple years, then absolutely I would love to one day be awesome. In the front office. Yeah. I think it'll be fun. You know, I think the players will have a real light, no rules.
Oh,
not many rules. Just don't get in trouble.
You'd be the NCAA of coaches.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Win some games, don't get in trouble, and we'll be good.
So good.
Well, it's funny you say that, Maddie, because a lot of players don't realize that when you become a coach or front office, there's a lot of hours, a lot of time, a lot of film, a lot of stuff that you got to do. So I like that you say you're taking it in stages, because jumping right into that, especially if you want, you need a break after you retire, right, Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, you could jump right into it, get a nice little check, but is it worth time away from your children? You know, $1 million, $5 million, right. Is it really worth that 1 year? I don't think so. I don't think so. I get to take my daughter to cheerleading.
Aww.
I watch her. I get to take my son and train him. I went to Arizona and coached my sons, and you know. And then I also have time to go to all my gossip websites.
what gossip websites do you go to?
I know. Let's. What are your favorites?
Takeout.
Media Takeout. Yep.
Okay.
The worst one. I can't believe I go to that site. They're so bad. They degrade women. they're so mean to women. Oh my goodness. So mean to women. Really, really disrespectful, but I don't know.
You just can't get enough, can you, Meta?
Oh, no. We all have our guilty pleasures.
I actually ran it a couple of years ago, and a lot of curse words on my Twitter, and I cursed out Media Takeout and the owner because I hate the way they talk about women, but, you know, sometimes they say funny things.
Right. And then you were in a lot of the gossip magazines and outlets once you were on Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah.
I'm sure I was. They probably said I, you know, took a dump publicly. I don't know.
But you won a lot of hearts with how much you wanted to get back with your kids.
Yeah.
And
your
my
girlfriend.
Goodness.
Yeah. I love that.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. A little teddy bear, you know.
Well, but it's that other side that we're seeing. Like Josh talked about on the court, you were, you know, a force to be reckoned with. But it's nice to see the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, on the court is different. You're in survival mode, coming from Queens. You're trying to make it. You don't want to have to sell crack.
You got to bring that street cred.
You know what I'm saying? Well, in Queens, my whole thing was, I do not feel like going to jail for the rest of my damn life. I need to get the hell away from here. So basketball was it, and I was always in survival mode. And it is what it is. People could call it thuggish, but yeah, it is thuggish. It's 100% thuggish.
I don't know. I think it's an inspiration to people that are in Queens now that want to play.
But some people would call me a thug, like, yeah. Yeah.
That's a compliment, though. You take it as a compliment.
If you grow where I grew up, you'll be a thug, too. A thug, too. They think they're making me upset or degrading me. You're actually not. You're actually 100% right, and I'm trying to get the hell out.
I told you he'd make you laugh.
And now look at you. You're a coach. Man, started from the bottom,
coach.
Now you're here.
All right, Meta. So before we let you go, what's next? I know you have the apps. I know you're coaching. But is there anything in particular that you want to do with your time right now?
I mean, right now, I love cookies.
Cookies?
Favorite cookie, go.
Oatmeal whole wheat.
Ooh.
Solid. Solid.
Meta, do you like Girl Scout cookies?
Oh, doce dos.
Doce dos. I'm a tag along girl.
Hard-hitting questions here.
I know. This is press-worthy.
But yeah, I think what I'm doing now is pretty cool. I'm just, learning, continuing education. I haven't had this chance. I haven't had a good chance to learn 18 years of MBA. So, you know, kind of doing my thing with education. Went to UCLA.
That's so impressive, too.
Yeah.
Very excited about that stuff and just helping people. That's it. Trying to keep it simple. My sons are going to be a pro, both of them.
Yeah.
They're going to go pro.
Yeah. All right. A team you want them to play with? I mean, you've got quite the resume. So
Milwaukee.
All right. Milwaukee.
I never thought.
Did you just pick a name out of a hat? Why the Bucks?
Milwaukee and what else? Utah.
The Jazz.
Utah. Okay. Yes. All right.
I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Meta, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time. We appreciate it. You know, I know you got busy time with all the media. Absolutely. After Slubby Big Brother, and you've got so much going on, the Panda's Friend and everything else. So we do appreciate your time, and you're always welcome back here on the Weekly Pass.
Thanks for having me. It's a great time. Love you guys.
Thanks,
Meta.
Thank you. Have a great night.
Isn't he great?
He's a man.
Oh, man.
I want to hang out with him. Meta, please, me and you, let's get ice cream.
I think he was getting a massage, and I was, like, getting jealous halfway through it.
Is that what you think?
I think he was getting... That's my...
Really?
Talk to me on the live chat, y'all. I think he was getting a massage.
We should have a poll. Was Meta getting a massage?
Yes.
Maybe he was. That's why he was...
I think he was.
Because I think that's why there was the pillow thing.
I think so, too.
From the booth, 100%.
Really? Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, halfway through, I was like, I think he's getting massaged. This is baller life. I almost brought it up, but I was.
But that is kind of baller, right?
Wow.
Who gets a massage and then it's like it's doing
I have
an
some
interview.
Follow-up questions, Meta. I'll hit you up on Twitter.
So good.
Isn't he a great dude, though?
No, he's awesome.
I mean, I've always just loved him. He's just not what people perceive him as. And they think of him in that Pacers jersey, running up the stands, at the Palace, and thinking that he's just...
Say.
This is like kind of like a psycho. He's not at all. No. It was funny when he first came to Lakers and I built this relationship with him when I was working for the team. I was like, wait a second. He's like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
A panda. You know, like he's so sweet. And, you know, when he won his first championship with the Lakers, you saw how emotional he got and with his kids. And you just saw the side of him. And I really think people now, wouldn't you agree, Josh, that people see a different side of him?
1,000%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think the elbow to Harden. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
That also hurt his reputation. But he's very gentle. He was a really good basketball player.
He really was.
He had the biggest shot for Lakers in 2010.
I know
in
he
game
did.
Seven
on
NBA
the
time finals.
Of the elbow, he did apologize publicly times. I feel like he was very transparent and humbled. I know.
The image was too much to overcome.
But at least he apologized, unlike Oak. Whatever apologize.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you get humility from athletes. It's a big deal. But I love him.
I told you guys. And I wanted to kind of open up the show with a guest like him because I just think he's just so kind. He's sweet.
Relatable.
Relatable, and I think fans need to see that.
Yes, I liked it.
Thank you, Bob.
And getting a massage while he's talking.
Love
that our producer said that.
Thanks, Stephen. Stephen Lemieux in the booth, ladies.
That he said, yes, he is getting a massage.
Yes, well, we have Renee on the live chat. Hey, what's up, Renee? Thank you for coming in. The question was, what advice would you give to aspiring athletes? That was for Meta, but we didn't get to ask
we'll tweet him out.
We'll tweet him and see what we can get for that.
Yeah.
Renee also said goals in terms of massage. That's goals.
Well, it's so funny, though, because I kept saying he's in, like, this weird position that he's got to be in. I know I'm cute going back to the massage, but it was just so, like, random. I've never had an interview like that. Have you?
No.
Nope.
No.
Not at all.
Well, it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That was a delight.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, we'll go back into hoops. I mean, we were talking. Where did we leave off?
I was talking about the Timberwolves and how I'm not a believer in the Timberwolves. I like a lot of teams other than the Timberwolves this year. I think they're probably a year away. Going into the season, I thought Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins were going to kind of clash a little bit.
I did, too.
They kind of play the same position. Andrew Wiggins doesn't really do much outside of scoring the basketball. Right. He's not going to get you boards. He's not going to get you assists.
Right.
He inconsistent defensively, and I thought him and Jimmy would clash. But I think it's a testament to how good Jimmy is being able to come in and adapt to it. I also think having Thibodeau with his history in Chicago helped him out a lot. They're going to miss Jimmy a lot. I mean, maybe it's not showing right now, but I do think they're going to lose a few games. I don't know what their schedule's like, but if it gets tougher, they're gonna lose some games, and I think if they lose home court advantage, they're gonna be a first round exit against whoever they play.
I think so too, unfortunately, which is sad, for T-Wolf fans, but we're gonna be real here, right?
Yeah.
Moving on to another team, the Cavs that were kind of made headlines with that. I mean, I was going crazy. Me and you were kind of going back and forth that day that they made those trades and basically were just cleaning house.
Yep.
they've done really well with this team. It's a young team. I think the most important thing is that once Kevin Love's back in this lineup, I think that this team's going to really take off.
I agree. Yeah, people are forgetting that he's out.
I think they are forgetting.
They're judging this team without Kevin Love right now. I mean, even when they lost, they won tonight. They beat the Nets. But when they lost against the Wizards, people were just like, oh, you see, they're back to their old ways. And no,
and for people who don't know, he's got the left hand injury, and he's supposed to be back mid-March, I believe.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. The Cavs, they're going to win the East.
Yes,
without a doubt. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
They're winning the East.
And LeBron, have you noticed, Josh, he is happy.
Right.
He looks engaged, focused. It looks like a little more pep in his step, or am I seeing it wrong?
No, you're right. And when LeBron's happy, the Cavs are happy.
Everyone's happy. What is it? Happy wife, happy life. So happy LeBron, happy. Yeah. I don't know how it rhymes, but.
And the ball's moving. They're going to be fine. The Cavs are going to be fine. I like the deal a lot. You get rid of Isaiah Thomas, who I think is good individually, but just didn't fit the team.
Right.
Same thing with Dwayne Wade. I mean, he's past his prime, but it just was not working out. And you got rid of that dynamic.
Right.
And now you bring in fresh new talent. Mm-hmm. LeBron works well with anybody. Yeah. He's going to recognize your strengths. Yeah, he's going to recognize your strengths. He's going to play to those strengths. They just need to tighten up on defense a little bit. They'll be fine.
And I also think that you got to remember Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, you know, they're still kind of learning this, you know, new team and where their role is and how they kind of fit in. Because if you looked at those games, Jordan looked a little lost out there, you got to admit. You know, so I think that that's going to also help with the chemistry and getting in sync too. It's going to take a little time.
Yeah, and just have defined roles. And
I think that's what I'm saying.
That's a problem that the Cavs had before. Like Isaiah Thomas wanted to be the scorer. The roles weren't as defined. Now Jordan knows, all right, you know what, chill by the three-point line. LeBron's going to hit me. I hit the three.
Right.
And he's actually shooting better from three now than he was in Los Angeles. Larry Nance just crashed the boards. Get a layup here and there.
Right.
Alley-oop. Just have defined roles. And I think when you have players who aren't expecting the ball all the time, it's easier to gel as a team. And I think when Kevin Love comes back, he's going to fit right in because Kevin Love is a catch and shoot. He can play whatever you want to play.
And then when Tristan Thompson, because right now it's like everything's kind of changing right now with that dynamic as well. So I think it is going to be more everyone knowing their roles.
They're going to be
Let
fine.
LeBron work, baby. Yeah, right? Let LeBron work.
What is this? Now you're a LeBron fan too, Becky, because you're on that side of the table?
This is Team LeBron.
I was Team Steph, I have to admit, and I was so bummed about that All-Star.
Are you Team Steph because you're feeling and sounding like a little bit of like Team LeBron?
But I have
and I don't like it.
But I have to give it up to, you know, somebody who reinvents the game, and LeBron does that. So
there you go.
I'm gonna be switching.
There you go, Becky.
Yeah, you've been all up in her.
Come on, Becky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but can we transition into news? Because another team who is reinventing the wheel here are the Rangers. Your Rangers.
Oh, the Rangers.
Yeah, man. So the trade deadline ended yesterday in the NHL, everyone. If you do not know, it's over. Boston now has Nash, so the Rangers gave him up for a first-round pick. That's a biggie.
And Becky's our NHL girl. That's why when me and Josh start to go like...
we're gonna leave the studio.
No, I'll be talking IndyCar, NHL, horse racing, everything kind of outside of NBA and MLB. But.
So what happened at the trade deadline? Who else?
The East is going to be insane. We actually found out today that Tampa received JT Miller and Ryan McDonagh as well. So again, the Rangers.
I know those.
Are,
JT Miller, too.
Yes, both are gone to Tampa.
The Rangers are the only team I know
about. If Tampa was not winning the East as it is, they're just.
So they're still the favorites.
Yeah, they're going to they're gonna slay.
And the Kings beat.
The Kings beat the Golden Knights last night in a very exciting
I even
OT.
Knew that because that was good.
And they're playing right now as well. So it's a back-to-back. But the Pacific, they just want to keep things interesting because the Flames, the Kings, the Sharks, the Ducks, they are literally a point apart from each other. So that wild card spot and the top three and the playoffs, they're just going
to
give
I just want the Golden Knights to win it all because I think it's
they
such
will.
A story.
So the Golden Knights are running away.
Yeah.
Yep, inaugural
and I love
season.
The name because I'm an Army girl, so I love the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Okay. They're going to win the West. Hands down.
Really? Well, you're that sure?
100%.
Well, they're number one in the whole league right now. So do you think they can win it all?
I think in hockey, you just never know. It's going to come down to one
game. The 8 seed comes out of the conference a lot of times, I feel like. I've seen the 8 seed. I think the Kings won
the Kings in 2012 won. Yeah.
I don't know, a little bit.
Bottom line, it's going to come down for the Kings to that April 7th game in the last season to see if they make the playoffs.
Oh.
Yeah. Big stuff happening, guys. Big stuff.
And what I'm more excited about than you're excited about the NHL... trade deadline is that spring training has started.
Baseball.
Baseball is back.
Yes. All right. I have some over and unders for you, Bonnie. Now, Vegas, every year they release over unders, how many games a team will win in the season. Bonnie, I'm going to list some teams. I want your opinion on whether or not they're going to go over or under based on Vegas.
This is kind of fun, though.
I like this a lot.
Cause especially because you're beginning the season and, you know, 162 games. It's so tough in baseball. I don't know how people like can bet on this.
I mean, honestly, if you convince me, though, I might, you know, take a couple $100 and go to Vegas right after the show. So let's start with your San Francisco Giants. Last year, 64 and 98.
Don't remind me.
But they added Andrew McCutchen.
I know. And Longoria.
And Longoria.
And Bum is healthy. Bum is back. I mean, we've got so much right now and, working for us in our favor.
And
you
the
know.
Over-under is 81.5. They're basically saying, you know what? The San Francisco Giants are going to be 500.
Of course they're going
to. What do you think?
Way over.
Way over.
Way over.
What? So, like, way over as in, like, we're winning the NL West way over?
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wow!
Have you looked at this team right now?
Listen, I like him. You know,
this is good stuff.
Buster Posey.
I know he's getting older, but, you know.
No, but he's still young.
But he's still in it. And like I said, you know, our relievers are healthy. We've got a lot of.
But Baum at the top of the rotation, Cueto at the top of the rotation.
And the big thing is, I know people who love Matt Cain are going to hate me, but that's going to help, not having Cain in that lineup. Because he had a lot of losses, and I think that's going to help the Giants as well.
Okay.
That's a big prediction.
I like your lineup. I mean, listen, they weren't supposed to be this bad last year.
Right, I know, and it was tough. As a Giants fan, being able to, especially toward the end of the year, it was really tough.
All right, let's go to the other NL West team I want to talk about, your rivals.
Mm-hmm.
104-58 last year, one game away from being the World Series champions. The Los Angeles Dodgers are at 95.5.
I'm not being a hater, but under.
Okay.
Because I just don't, I don't know, I don't see, Kershaw's like, God, I mean, you never know. He's a, what?
He's the best pitcher
in
baseball.
He is, but he's also but you also never know. He's kind of sometimes a game away from getting hurt again. You never know.
He's like,
What, you agree with me?
I totally agree with you.
Right? See, and I like Kershaw for what he does off the field. But but I'm just saying that you never know with him. You know, and it's interesting to see, you know, how the dynamic of that team, though, you know, the chemistry.
They're very young.
They're young, you know. And so, and it's hard to see, like, to go back to back. Not that they went all the way, but you – it's, I mean, it's telling. We'll see how they do in this season, but I don't see them 95. I mean, no way.
Really?
Okay. You see that?
I think it's gonna be close. I think they win the NL West. I think at or around 95. I would take the over.
Oh. The over?
Yeah, I think 96, 97 games.
Oh, you lose in Vegas a little.
Anyway, I'm going to ask you about my team, the New York Yankees. Last year, 91-71, one game away from the World Series. Vegas has them at 93.
I know.
Over under.
That's tough.
Oh, come on!
Okay, I'll probably go over.
There you go. Probably.
Yeah, I know. I will. I'll go over.
All right.
But I'm just saying, again, you know what it is? I'm always thinking about too with baseball is like injuries and with any sport. So I just always kind of think.
It's such a long season. It's like hockey and basketball.
But they just traded for Giancarlo Stanton. That lineup is ridiculous. Greg Bird is healthy. Aaron Judge,
he's hurt right now. He's got that shoulder injury. They don't know if he's going to even be opening day.
Fine.
But Chicago Cubs
are
93.5. God, I mean, what do you think?
I got the over. Listen, they went 92-70 last year. And I, from what I remember, just my thought of the Cubs last year was that they tremendously underachieved, and I look back at their record. I'm like, they won 92 games.
I know when we were talking about that, I did not realize.
I know they made the playoffs. I know they got hot in the second half, but it just didn't feel like they won over 90 games. Now you had Yu Darvish. Their lineup is one of the best in baseball.
We failed to mention the Dodgers lost.
I think they, not only do they go over, I think they're the best team in the National League.
Really?
Yeah.
And with the Houston Astros, we all know as baseball fans, it's very hard to go back to back.
Right.
I mean, they've got them 96.5. I'm going to say under on that.
Yeah, I'm going to go under, too. I think the Astros are still good, though.
I don't see them.
No. I mean, 101.
I mean, Verlander.
I think Verlander comes down to earth this year. Because he was out of his mind.
He was just throwing filthy pitches. I mean, whether you're a Verlander fan or not, wasn't it pretty ridiculous to see him just in the zone?
Yeah. It was nice to see, too, because I'm a big fan of Justin Verlander.
So am I.
And we're not talking about my Pirates, apparently.
Let's ask
Becky.
Pirates, 76.5 wins, which means that they're slated to lose more games than win.
Of course.
It's 162 games.
You got to remind me of that.
So 76 wins, over or under? Well, 76 and a half.
I am going for well over. I'm going for like 90.
Stop it.
98. Stop, stop, stop.
98.
could you imagine if she was right and somehow.
We'll run the tape back. And then.
Can we talk about who was right when I predicted who was going to win the Super Bowl? Just so you know. Right. Thank you very much.
This is the first show. We don't know what you're talking about. There's no tape on what you're talking about.
There's absolutely tape on that.
Yeah. No.
I was the one that predicted it.
And then, We're
replaying that. You have
no proof. You have no proof. Last team, Boston Red Sox, 91 and a half games.
Oh, I'm going to go over.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over with that, with 91. Wouldn't you go over?
Yeah, slightly though.
I'm not going to say by a lot because I was kind of on the fence on it, but.
Yeah, they had a weird year last year. They won the AL East, but they didn't they had no, they were last in home runs in AL, but they added JD Martinez. I think they're going to be good.
But they were streaky. They were streaky throughout the whole year.
But they were missing a lot of players.
Right.
Now they got Pedroia. I think they're going to go over. I think that them and the Yankees are, I think that rivalry's back.
I'm excited for that. And hopefully my Giants Dodgers have that rivalry too.
Yes.
And speaking of Giants, did you see Pirates. Tim Lincecum sign with the Rangers? One more. I just had to say that. But he's not going to be a Dodger. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And he's in the AL, so you don't have to worry about him.
Right. And he's going to be a closer.
Closer, yeah.
Which is weird. I think that's kind of it for tonight. Yeah, we kind of encompassed a lot of things, and that's what we'll be doing this whole
show. You guys,
show,
the chat
right? We'll
is
be talking
alive.
Everything.
Oh,
the chat
really?
Is alive.
Hello, chat. What's up?
We have races fans rocks. He likes hockey. What's up, boy from Bakersfield? He likes the Condors. Anyway,
oh cool.
We got some good conversation going on here. Somebody said Cavs are lucky Gordon Hayward is out. What do you think about that?
I think that's fair to say. Bernard. We don't know how Gordon would fit in with the Celtics. Although I do trust in Brad Stevens to incorporate.
And
Gordon
that was
Hayward.
That was another tough injury.
No, but that's a fair comment. That's a fair comment. I do think they are lucky because I think they beat the Celtics in 5, max 6 in the playoffs this year. I really did. When they get Kevin Love back, they're just way better.
Well, this was fun. We'll be back here every week.
Yes.
On the weekly pass.
Okay. Yes.
I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin.
I'm Josh Rodriguez.
I'm Becky Sotero. What's
and
up?
And we will see you next week. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.